Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Microphone check 1 2. What is this? Microphone check.
Checking. Hello. 1 2 3 1 2 3
yeah,
1 2 3.
We're there. Episode 31, Planet Xbox Podcast. What is up, everyone? Welcome to Planet Xbox Podcast, hosted by Weapon Wheel Podcast and Weapon Wheel's Patreons. We are back with this is gonna be a quick episode. You know, the news has been very, very light, but Xbox has been keeping everyone fed. So if you are a content creator, if you are a journalist, Xbox has been making you famous, monetizing, allowing you to monetize all of its newsworthy content.
No repercussions, none.
No repercussions. We're gonna start this thing off. What are you playing? Did you ever get access to the Final Fantasy thing that I see that the reviews went live?
No. They decided that, you know, someone that lives, breathes Final Fantasy, constantly talks about Final Fantasy, it's not worth getting a review code, but people that have tweeted about Final Fantasy 4 times in their entire life on Twitter, they got review codes. You know, it's like, but I'm not going to, you know, repeat. Obviously, people know I have an issue of how, you know, the industry rewards people that, you know, try to just speak highly and stuff that they like. It is what it is at this point.
Yeah.
But I'm going to play. The good thing is I'm doing more streaming now.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really hurt me too much if I don't get a review code anymore, because it's probably better if I just stream it anyway.
Fair enough. Have I played anything? Like, I'm number one on the Xbox achievement leaderboard of all my friends list. And that's what me taking, the last game I played, was it Banishers? Was it really Banishers? Did I play anything after? I'm working on a couple games right now, actually. I'm playing Vampire. I decided to pick that back up and move through that story. That's the game Don't Nod did back in 2018 or 2019. Another action RPG game. That and Banishers is supposed to be in the same universe. I'm trying to make the connection, so that's what made me want to play it. I've also re-downloaded Dead Rising 3. I realize there's a lot of like side content that I never like got through. I've played through the DLCs, but I don't think I finished them all. So, but that game is hard to play now because it's very dated. Like, graphically, the pop-in is horrible, and the frame rate is cleaned up, but it's not. That game was very taxing on the Xbox One early on. That game could definitely use an upgrade, but it's fun. Been playing, I've re-downloaded Dead Island 2. Not because it's on Game Pass, but it got on Game Pass.
We've had it for a while.
Yeah, but I forgot they had dropped DLC.
Before the game came out.
Yeah, they were very generous with their review, review period.
And because of that, that's one of the key examples that when people really feel their product. Look, I even think that game sold decently well, considering yeah. considering I didn't expect nothing from Dead Island 2 at all.
Yeah, the game was decent, but I want to get through the DLC, and I want to wrap up those achievements. I think prior to the DLC releasing, I was like, I think two achievements away from the 100% completion. So I figured I'd just go after them all while I do the DLC run. Try and play with the dude Blitz. Shout out to Blitz. You know who you are on X and on my friends list, man. And maybe some other people. Maybe there's a lot more, a larger player pool now that it's on Game Pass. A lot of people on Game Pass, even though we think it sold decently, there's still a lot of people that didn't play the game because they probably just written it off. 2023 was quote unquote a gaudy year for games. That was one of my favorite games last year, top five, and I think a lot of people is going to discover how good that game is graphically. They did a good job with that. The detail and the zombies, the gore, man, that game has some moments. I enjoyed that game. I truly enjoyed that game. That and Wolong was a few games that I enjoyed, and of course Starfield, which ultimately was my game of the year. But let's get into these Patreon questions, and then we'll get on with today's shows. Like I said, we're not going to go too long. We'll probably give you guys just under an hour, but it's going to be worth it. All right. The question comes from Alexander King, my Weapon Wheel co-panelist. He has four questions. Question number one is, he says, "What's up, Big Daddy?" I think that's for you, Attic. No, I don't think that's for me. He says,
"Thinks you're big."
He says, "Smoove, why are you using a blonde wig for PlayStation gamers?" Laugh my ass off. When I come up with the perception of what they call him, Dahmer Smoove or Kid Dahmer or whatever, and then in characters such as Nerd Boy Smoove, I get these characters in my head because this is how I envision some of these individuals are on Twitter. Like people in a YouTube comment section, people on Twitter. Like
if they play the nonsense they'd be saying on Twitter in real life. Because most of these people aren't like this in real life, but this is how I envision them talking if it was real life.
Yeah, that's pretty much how that's how I came up. It's not like I just the whatever they say, the things they say on X, how they say it, their attitude about things, I just said that's how I envision it, and then I pretty much put it out there is how I see them. So when you see me make a character in these skits, I'm just doing what I see in my head of some of these characters. And it's, I have a few characters on the Xbox side too, which you guys are going to see in future skits too, of how I look at some of these people, some of the people I haven't talked to in person. Question number two, he says, now that we're past D-Day, which this podcast is about D-Day, will y'all welcome PS gamers on Sea of Thieves? I don't play Sea of Thieves often, not enough. I'll try to get back into it. I've been trying to get back into it. This is going to sound very weird of me, but I think Sea of Thieves, even though I think it's successful, I think Rare did a good job with that game. Some games aren't for me. And I think for me, Sea of Thieves is a difficult game to play. Not saying that it's hard, but for me I think it's a difficult game to play. Not that there's no fun to it because they made it accessible. You don't have to worry. The thing about Sea of Thieves is a game where you jump in, people are jumping in 6 years later, and they're not going to feel behind. It's not a game where you feel behind, where you feel like you're behind, because everything, there's no real ranking and stuff like that. You kind of just jump in and play, and everything you unlock, it's just everything's all really cosmetics. That's really the progression, is just cosmetics. So you'll see people that look cool, but you're not really missing out. All the missions, all the quests and stuff is still there, which I do want to complete some quest snagging, because I thought some of the Disney stuff that they incorporated, the Jack Sparrow stuff. What's the name of that series from Disney? Pirates of the Caribbean. I think they did some cool things with that, and I'd like to check some of that stuff out. But go ahead and support. I know a couple weeks ago I said I hope all these games flop on PlayStation. you know. But you know, if you want to play, if you guys, because I mean, back when these games were Xbox exclusive, they were trash. They were the token for the 69 Metacritic score, right? I think that's what it was. So, and now if people want to show off that they have access to the game and they think it's good now, hats off. Maybe Jeff Keighley and crew will finally nominate Sea of Thieves for best ongoing game after 10 years. Who knows? But
it would be crazy if that actually happens.
Yeah.
Did you see how many of the media was saying, oh, you know, Sea of Thieves is a great game, but these people have like really not talked anything positive about it for like the longest time?
Yeah, absolutely. Question number three, he says, this is for gaming addict. He says, gaming addiction. I think that might have auto-corrected to that. He says, gaming addiction. Why did you put your hands in your blazer pocket on stage? You're messing up the silhouette of the suit, bro. Let it be sleek and lay on your prop and lay on you. Hold on, let me read that again. He says, gaming addiction.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Gaming addict. Why did you put your hands in your blazer pocket on stage? You're messing up the silhouette of the suit, bro. Let it be sleek and lay on you properly.
Because it was just, I've never done anything like that, so I was nervous a little bit. That was like in front of like 600-700 people. Not to mention how many people were streaming the thing. Like it's different. Like obviously I've streamed in front of thousands of people, but I've never been in front of people. You know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute. Y'all was on stage?
Yeah.
Y'all presented an award?
Uh-huh.
Hold on, send me the link. I didn't see any of this. I only saw pictures.
At the Video Game Awards, we presented the best VR game.
Please send me the link at some point. I want to see. I didn't know you guys presented an award, but I knew you guys were there. But that would have been, oh wow. I gotta see that. That's cool. Shouts out to y'all. ILP. I don't know. I didn't know you guys did that. I didn't see that anywhere. I've only seen pictures of you guys. I did not see you guys like a video clip. Question four. I saw the skit get 6,000 views, Smooth. Is this motivating you to keep going? Are you the next Drewski? Good question. All right, I'm going to give you guys a little nugget behind the scene, right? So the skits and the content that I've been doing lately has been all Addict's idea. He's been asking me to do this for years, and I just kept saying I kind of just rubbed it off, shut it off. I just wanted to do regular videos like everyone else, and he was like, and he was very blunt. He was like, it's not your lane. You know what I mean? It's
not that it's not your lane. It's... You have nurtured an audience that really just wants you to make them laugh. Like they don't, and not to mention, like you got a lot of PlayStation people follow you. They don't give two shits about your Xbox opinion. Look at the comment section every week on Planet Xbox, and that will verify what I say. At the end of the day, you know, the PlayStation people might not want to hear your Xbox opinion. Yeah. And especially you said stuff like Apple should buy Xbox. The Xbox people don't even want to hear your opinion anymore.
Yeah.
But guess what both want to hear? They want you to make them laugh. And you know how I knew something was up? When you did that, this skit, but the one before that, the GameStop skit.
Yeah.
I saw big Xbox people and big PlayStation people side by side saying this shit was funny.
Yeah, but as far as the skits, and just to give people background, because a lot of people think this is sort of new, a lot of people, I've already seen like earlier tweets like, oh, leave that to Mighty Keith, man, you're not Mighty Keith and all this stuff, and cool, and I know that was like coming, and it's not the goal, but if people who watch my channel when I first started, 2014, March, spring, summer 2014, all my videos were on Kinect. And all I could do, I couldn't do the regular videos like back then. It was like Red Dragon, Anchorman, and Crap Gamer and all that stuff. I had to kind of mix it up. So what I would do is I would do skits and I would duplicate myself with the Xbox Kinect green screen feature and do those on Upload Studio. And that's how the Nerd Boy Smooth came to be about. And I stopped those once I was able to upgrade and get stuff like that. I got my first capture card, my PC, and was able to get video programs and stuff like that. And then I started making traditional videos, right? and I kind of stopped doing the funny videos or the satire videos, and that's what it's been. So what happened is it got lost. So that's why Addicts has been on me. He was like, you used to make all the videos that like he used to make back in the day, but you don't do those, and you could have been blew up. And I was like, all right. And then once this whole, it was just the right time, and I was like, you know what? Let me give it a shot and like really try to do something. So the goal isn't to be the next Drewski, and it's not to even be Mighty Keith, because I kind of want my content to be specifically different. I don't want my content to be one-to-one or very comparable. You could put me in the same genre, but I want to stand out differently. Like, you know, I know what to expect from a Mighty Keith video. I know what to expect from Drewski, and I want people to know what to expect from me that isn't really quite comparable. So, I mean, if doing skits in general puts me in that category, that's one thing, but I like my skits are generally longer, has more of a storyline, characters are reoccurring, and they can take so many different directions. So hopefully I need one of them to go viral. One of them needs to go viral, like real viral. And maybe it was the GameStop one. I think is my favorite one, because that was, it was all improv. We didn't script any of that. And it just came out really good. But good question, Alex. All right, let's get into it, Attic. So the moment we've been waiting for, we got past the rumors, we got past the announcement. Now we got release dates and advertising. Actually, we even got releases. Pentiment has released on the PlayStation 5.
Almost everything's out right now.
Yeah. Pentiment has released on the PlayStation 5 and Nintendo, I think, a day ago or 2 days ago. So that was the first game to be released. The next game is, I believe, Hi-Fi Rush next month in March. And see if I think Grounded is also in March, right?
Yeah, and digitally, then, they're already out, though.
Really? Oh, I thought you could just only wish list them right now.
I think maybe that's how it was, but
Pentiment was the only one that kind of was like the closest thing to like an immediate release. But Hi-Fi Rush is next month. I think Grounded is next month, and I think Sea of Thieves is in April. Sea of Thieves is only releasing on PlayStation. I think the Switch is getting Grounded and Pentiment, and Hi-Fi Rush is only on. Is Hi-Fi Rush coming to the Switch?
No,
Hi-Fi Rush is only on PlayStation.
Mm-mm. Just probably because it can't run.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So, and now, you know, it's tangible. These games can be pre-ordered now. There was some discourse, so it hurts like a flesh wound, and that's why I think it's important. You know, I think my last skit and the skit that I'm working on now, which probably be out, I don't know, Sunday or Monday. It's shorter. It's not going to be as drastic, but it's to make a point. But the discourse isn't stopped yet. It's in some cases getting worse, because people feel like the marketing, you know, has picked up a bit. And this is more so where I feel offended as an Xbox fan. And it sounds really horrible, but as an Xbox fan, I do feel offended. Not that these games are coming to play. It's fine. It's cool. I got over that fact, and it is what it is. You know, kudos, good luck. Hopefully they do well. But I got offended at the marketing, because it's like, you know, Pentiment. And this crazy thing is, Xbox has been notorious, right? Criminally notorious for not releasing physical versions of these games, right? These games were digital only, which is fine. I mean, my library is digital, but you know, that's also a marketing beat. That's a tangible thing that you're placing for sale, right? That's a exposure. Now these games are getting physical releases now that they're on PlayStation and Nintendo Switch. Now their promotional material for these Xbox first party games is the Xbox version is in the back, with Nintendo and PlayStation versions being the headliners. You got Sea of Thieves Twitter page, and I don't care what and people, they changed it because of the reaction. They changed it, but they changed their location to PlayStation 5. And people will say, that's childish. Why are you mad at that? It's not. It's just, it's like, They Xbox knows, Xbox first party games knows, all the PR works at Xbox knows the toxic environment that we in and the toxicity this whole situation have brought about. So why do anything to help fuel it? Just do your little marketing beats and call it a day. Don't do all the stuff where it looked like you're pandering. It's the environment out here is still very tribalistic. We're still very entitled to the brand, we have like this entitlement, this ownership of these IPs and stuff like that. So yeah, it still hurts. And the fact that they're doing things more so to, it feels like they're flirting with the other brands, flirting with the rival platform and stuff like that. I just think it's some measures they've been doing. And I don't like the fact that now that your games are on PlayStation and Nintendo, you want to market, but you didn't do this when your games were available. You know, they had to rely on word of mouth. They had to rely on Game Pass. It's like everybody's reacting. These studios and their games are acting as if they've been like that they've entered paradise because their game's on a PlayStation, you know. But it's there and people, you know, some people are all right with it. And then PlayStation fans are basking in it. Like you got people like Red Dragon retweeting like Sea of Thieves and Rares and it had these games this not happen, he would be bashing them or making condescending tweets to them. But now that they're on PlayStation, you know, people are now have this weird appreciation for these games that got crapped on. Like none of these games were, you know, on Game of the Year lists, you know. None of these games were good because none of these games, though, the highest rated game, all right, Pentiment and Hi-Fi Rush are highly rated, but they never got credit. Now they're going to get credit for being decent, like, or really good, like, really going to get real credit. It's like, instead of being, oh, it's good for an Xbox game, it's going to get a real credit now, you know, real appreciation. And, that's the more so the issue I have with it. It's not the games itself. It's the toxicity behind it that the culture brings and the tone deafness of Xbox and PR that they really can't. They don't understand. I don't think they understand.
The problem is they're making the Xbox consumer, the consumer that has bought all the games, that has bought all the platforms, seem like they are the last person they're thinking of. They're thinking Absolutely. About, oh, is this PlayStation fan base going to like this? Oh, you know, even like if something is like small as like not having Xbox first party studios as a watermark. Like if I remember correctly, in MLB The Show, does this say PlayStation?
MLB The Show, you get that PlayStation splash screen. You get it.
When
you boot the game. Not on like the store, it doesn't say PlayStation Studios, it just say San Diego is the studios is the developer.
But I'm saying when you start the game,
when you start the game, you get the PlayStation Studio start screen. Yes, you do get that PlayStation that room where they show the little IPs and stuff like that. Yeah. You
do get that. The fact that they I don't know if that's a PlayStation thing. They're like, look, you can do this, but you gotta change. We don't want that name on our console, but they let them do it. So I'm just sitting here like, okay, so it's okay for one to do it, but not the other. And it's like, if this was a PlayStation thing, and that is on the Xbox version, and they just like, okay, we'll change it, but they didn't make them change theirs? That's bullshit. Because to me, that's PlayStation shitting on the Xbox brand. It's like
what's the first game?
What
to do the Xbox Game Studios thing? Oh, Pentiment. Obsidian is technically Obsidian is a future. So I don't think Bethesda games do that, but I know Obsidian games should do that at this point because at the time that Pentiment released.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see if it happens on what's it called on Grounded and Sea of Thieves.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, because it really does, it makes it seem like, oh, so you know, PlayStation, it's equivalent like Jabari saying I don't want that Xbox stinks on my platform, and then Xbox says, okay, we'll take it off then. It's like, I hope that's not what the conversation was. And what's funny is it's actually worse if that wasn't the conversation. That means Xbox deliberately took it off just because they didn't want it on there. Like, it's just, the whole thing's crazy, man. And, you know, people sit there all, this is about the console. Nah, like, people don't realize, like, once you make these moves, there's no going back. Like, this is equivalent to, like, an Xbox One mess up. And it could work out well for Xbox. Or it could blow up and be the reason the company's out of business. Yeah. Well, like, the Xbox portion of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's, like I said, it's a decision. Like, if people, you know, don't like, you know, my commentary on it, I do think there are people out here taking it out of hand. The one thing I don't like, and I will not do, and I think the thing that I do find corny, is that these Xbox guys who feel like, I guess, and this is when you realize people are in an identity crisis, right? And you start to realize who they are, what they really want. I don't understand how dudes go from, I love Xbox, to I now hate Xbox. And I'm going to criticize everything you do in it, like, your whole existence, but criticize everything you do. Anytime something PlayStation does good, I'm going to criticize Xbox. It's like, how do you get to that? I don't understand. It's like, I don't agree with the decision either. I don't want them to put games on PlayStation and Nintendo unless PlayStation and Nintendo was putting games on their platform. If everybody goes multi-platform, great. Then I'm a happier gamer because now it's all about preference. And the thing is, and with me to this day, it's still all about preference. And that's why I can't take the same take that everybody has. I can't be that upset because at the end of the day, it was like, okay, but I still prefer the Xbox. I'm not going to just magically prefer PlayStation. I haven't preferred PlayStation for the better half of 15 years. I had one PS4. I had really, what introduced me in the PlayStation was PS2. And the primary reason for that was I was a big wrestling fan. I've told that story several times. So Xbox has been my primary platform from 2005 onward. And that's not going to change until they stop making Xboxes. Once they stop making Xboxes, then I will probably go on a PC if I'm still gaming, right? But the whole, like, oh, I'm going to turn into MBG. I'm going to turn into Red Dragon. I'm going to turn into Grinds My Gears. That is like, how do you, like, really? And I don't understand that. I think that's very fake. Like, I said something... when you have a group of Xbox guys, you ask, back when Xbox didn't have games, right? And people were like, well, why do you play on Xbox? People were reluctant to say the exclusives because Xbox had no games. So they gave other reasons. They say, oh, power or a better console, achievements, the community, the ecosystem, backwards compatible. They'll name all this stuff, but exclusives, right? Now, all that stuff still exists. So you're telling me they take away your game, and this is why the skit that I'm working on is funny as hell, but you take away the games. And you know what? I'm not going to say take away the games, because shout out to Maddie from Defining Duke. Shout out to the podcast. I don't like the term he used, that they're leaving Xbox. The games aren't leaving Xbox. They're just available somewhere else. That's not an Xbox, right?
After they've had mad marketing say that the whole point of their movement in the industry was to booster their footprint when it comes to exclusives. Mm-hmm. And now it's looking like they're completely backtracking all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Phil Spencer saying the whole point of this was for exclusives, and then him saying, you know, when it comes to the Ori, they were being a little bit inconsistent on how games came out, because I know Hellblade came out even after they bought them. So it's just like, at this point, it is what it is. You've lost essentially all the trust in your fan base.
They did. And you know, I'm not gonna say who's wrong or who's right. I think the decision that Xbox made to do this, and we know they're gonna continue to do it. This is a decision, like, they have to. I'm just curious to see what they will do. But in the back of my mind, I don't think they're going to do anything, because Xbox is notorious for not delivering. I'm curious to see what they can do for an Xbox customer, right? What? How are you going to make the Xbox customer that's bought your box, that's all in on Xbox, feel special? What's the benefit? Like, because at the end of the day, there's got to be a benefit, right? If your games are going to be everywhere, right, and you're still making hardware, there just got to be a benefit to get it on your platform. If you're going to do that, make it beneficial for your platform. I know Game Pass for sure, obviously, that's one benefit, but you got to do the real deal. Now, if I was Xbox and I'm making my games for other platforms and stuff like that, you know what I mean? I'm doing the bare minimum. They're just getting ported. None of it is supporting any extracurricular stuff like DualSense or anything like that. None of that. Nope, it's just going to be base game. You take it or leave it, right? You know what I mean? But you get all the bells and whistles on Xbox. But I'm not going to sit there and turn around. I'm not going to pretend, right, that Xbox doesn't have a... like, Xbox, we've never seen a platform holder with this many studios. They have more studios with it. They got more first-party studios than they can put out for, to support their own console. So, like, they have so many studios that they technically really, if everything was exclusive, majority of their games would just flop. You know what I mean? Unless... Yeah,
there's like, too many to go... Right? There's yeah. too many to... To realistically release year by year and not overlap yeah. with each other.
Yeah. So and realistically, I could think and be like, all right, I get it.
That's but, just like big games and small games.
Yeah. Well. But there's got to be some sort of thing. And the thing is that you can't take Microsoft on their word. You can't take Xbox on their word. But if I were them and I'm making games, like, all right, there will be like, there's just games that's like, it's like, I would say, yeah. It would be like 50% of the games we release are probably going to be multi-plat, but my tempos are, you know, are my system sellers that I need people to join into my ecosystem. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? And but the problem is that what they just did, it's a double-edged sword, is that you can't say, because game, you'll get a game that's, damn, this is too big to, like, not be everywhere. And that's where the problem comes, because it's like, now there is no, like, you know, franchise, you know, exclusive, because that, I mean, if Halo was like, for example, you could argue for Halo, you could argue for Gears, you could argue for Forza, you know what I mean? Those games are big, and you'd be like, you know what, they need to more exposure. These should be big sellers. These should be, you know, these should be 10 million sellers and stuff like that, and we can't do that unless we release on PlayStation and Switch. So now I don't trust Microsoft to do anything. I don't trust Microsoft or Xbox to make anything exclusives. Like, I don't trust them to have an exclusive lineup. So in my mind, I've already come to the conclusion that, yeah, Xbox has no exclusive. Like, I can't be surprised if Starfield lands on PlayStation, if Avowed lives on releases on PlayStation, if Indiana Jones and Halo Infinite, Gear 6, like, they remastered the next three Gears. They put, like, it would be weird. I still think it would be stupid because they're in the console business. But at the end of the day, you know, I do like their consoles. I think they make awesome consoles. They make an awesome controller, and I like their ecosystem because I've been able to graduate and utilize their my library in multiple points, and still feel like I'm within, and, you know, but I still prefer my Xbox. But I understand those Xbox fans who now feel marginalized by Xbox, because it feels like now Xbox is prioritizing PlayStation and Nintendo over their own, you know, user base. And I understand it. I understand it. And it sucks. But at the end of the day, dude, when it comes to the games, right, I played maybe 90% of Xbox One and Xbox Series, like, first party games. I played 100% of them, but I probably seriously played 90% of them. I can't say it hurts me for Hi-Fi Rush, Sea of Thieves, and Pentiment and all that stuff to go. I'm not going to play Pentiment. I tried, it's not for me. It's the Obsidian game I don't like. I'm not going to just all of a sudden fall in love for Sea of Thieves. I have some of these games we have 5 years to play, 4 years to play, and didn't care about them. Not going to just suddenly get upset because it exists on another platform. It's like, what's the point? That's like
when my kids fight, right? Like my son will, son would like be watching TV, right? Get up, leave, go do something completely different, right? No longer watching whatever is on TV. My daughter grabs the remote, changes the channel, and he like, hey, why'd you do that? Because you weren't watching it, right? So that's how I look at this whole situation with the this whole exclusive things. But I do expect more games to go. Do I think more games will go this year? It's still early. No, I do think next year there's going to be another batch. It won't be a big deal because they already kind of like broke us in. So there'll be an Xbox Wire post, or there'll a random game would just show up at a Nintendo Direct or a PlayStation Plus. But I don't care what anybody says about this. I do hope at some point PlayStation, not really much Nintendo, because I don't really play Nintendo games, but PlayStation can real follow suit. I don't care about this. Like, yeah, they release games on PC, which I've got a couple PlayStation games on PC, but I really would like them. I think it would be cool to see Spider-Man on Xbox. I just want to, like, you can afford to give up one IP, bro. Like, give us Spider-Man, dude. Like, give us Spider-Man. Like, PlayStation makes things very toxic.
The problem is I don't think Xbox is going to pressure them, because it would take them. Yeah, okay, we'll give you. The thing is I don't think the biggest things that Xbox could use to their advantage is either the cuts of games,
because
they own everything from Bethesda and Blizzard at this point, or like, yo, no more Spider-Man exclusive. We'll give you Elder Scrolls 6 day and day. I personally wouldn't want that. I want Elder Scrolls to be exclusive to Xbox, even if it's a timed, because I feel like it would actually benefit Xbox, the brand, tremendously. But problem is Xbox, PlayStation's not going to just willingly give that. They're going to have to be forced to.
But why not? At this point, Spider-Man 2018, come on, they can afford to just let it. Come on, dude. It's like nobody's buying that anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Spider-Man 2 is selling. Miles Morales is probably still selling, but you can give up Spider-Man 2018 remaster. You can do that. Like, throw us a bone. Like, all right, you know what? We'll give you that. Can you guys go over and port Sunset Overdrive for us? Like, they can have these businesses where everybody makes money, bro. Like, why do they? And again, and it sounds like, and I understand that PlayStation 4 was like, they didn't get phone Xbox, you know, they can't have my exclusive. Not like, yeah, just let it be.
That's my fear in the matter, is like, we've gotten to the point where it's like, are they going to, like, is PlayStation going to kind of like lay arms down because Xbox essentially like gave up? Or are they going to amp that shit up now? Oh, we're getting your shit. So, okay, not only are we going to go after, we're going to continue to try to get Square Enix, we're going to go over there and talk to Capcom. We're going to squeeze the rest of the life out of you. Now you ain't going to get your exclusives, and you ain't getting third-party shit either.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, how hard would it be?
It's not hard. They pretty much, it's too much. With that being said, right, can't PlayStation just like, all right, Xbox, you know, we want to continue this relationship with Call of Duty. We like to continue marketing for Call of Duty. They just negotiate a deal with Xbox, and they get marketing rights.
And then why would they do that at the end of the day? Here's the thing. It's going to determine how these games do when they come out. That's everything. How these games do when they launch. Mm-hmm. Are they going to hit their expectations? Are they going to be lower than their expectations, or are they going to knock their expectations out of left field? If it does go the latter and they knock those expectations out of left field, at that point, I think the money people have all the analytics that they need, everything going. Yeah. Starfield, I still personally feel like Starfield's still in development. I think it's still being made for PlayStation. Because here's the thing, what I was told is it wasn't supposed to come out till after the expansion. The expansion probably ain't coming out till next year because of the pandemic. So you think they would have announced Starfield now anyway? And then keep in mind, when Phil Spencer was talking about Starfield and Indiana Jones, he just said it's not one of those first four. They didn't say it wasn't coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, right? Now, there's also the conspiracy theory you know, in me. Because they're still doing that court case, right? Now, what if there's another dimension, right? Not another realm where this could, they were like, hey, we could sacrifice a few games to show goodwill. Because if you think about this whole court case, they've always been saying, you know, we want our games everywhere, want our games everywhere, want our games everywhere, right? And they've been kept being challenged on that. They kept going back to the court case and all that stuff that was said in the past and behind closed doors and emails. And they were like, you know what? Let's sacrifice some games, right?
What happens if we don't know it, but Microsoft bent the knee completely to the FTC to get it passed?
What do you mean?
The FTC and another company was going after them. The CMA or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Winds up one of those companies that came to say, okay, winds up we go more multi-plat, would you let this deal go through? Because here's the thing. I don't think it's a coincidence, and this is just a conspiracy. This is probably wrong. But you mean to tell me that now when this deal gets concluded a couple months later, these games are coming to the competitor's platform and they've never done anything remotely like this to this degree? Just ironically, when the deal was finalized.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is when they started making these promises, right? The streaming promises, the stuff happened before the deal even closed. But I do think it does work in their favor when you consider the argument that the FTC is fighting, right? The only thing that doesn't work in their favor is the layoffs. No. But every other argument as far as for closing out, you know, PlayStation and Nintendo and all this other, and all the streaming services, they've actually acted on their promises there and what they said on court. And then now it was like, okay, why would we make anything exclusive if we literally just put games that don't even belong to Activision Blizzard on PlayStation?
What do you think if they're going to come at this from this perspective than now where they're like, okay, everything's a timed exclusive. Everything. Doesn't matter what it is. We're going to be very open.
Mm-hmm.
But we're picking up Sega. We're picking up another. Like, once they start using the fact that they're truly going to be more, you know, they're not going to really be a competitor in the fashion in terms of, like, exclusivities.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to be, and that gives them the wing that they need to pick up, like, a Sega, you know, all these other smaller companies, and then, you know, all the majority of the games that make sense are timed exclusive and the rest of multiplayer and everything's in Game Pass.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think it would be cool, but you mentioned something, you brought up something, right? And this is more so a question to you, to me, and to all the Xbox fans. Now, I don't know how many Xbox fans actually get to watch this podcast considering the platform we're on. But I do want to ask this question. Why did we care, or why were we excited that Xbox bought studios? Like, why did we care that they bought Obsidian, Ninja Theory, and Exile?
Because I thought they would leverage the talent and leverage the games that the talent makes to leverage people to come over to the Xbox platform.
Okay. I was excited for Game Pass.
I didn't give a shit about Game Pass.
No, the reason why is I started forgetting because it's like, all right, this is an automatic Game Pass subscription, and two, obviously, exclusives, right? But why am I excited that it's exclusive? Because it was ammo for us to use to fight this whole console war. Like, I hate to admit it, but it's the truth. It's like, why? Because at the end of the day, who truly cares? If they didn't buy these studios, right? Were we going to buy their games? Did we care about their games, right? Some of them, yeah, sure. Like, I rock with Obsidian. I didn't really rock with Bethesda like that. I rocked with some of their studios, but not the main Bethesda. But most of us really cared because it was like Xbox got games. Xbox got exclusives. Game Pass. We're going to say all these good games, all these AAA games are going to be exclusive. The concept, it was more also, it's these games that the studios that they bought, their games rate high on Metacritic. The studios that they bought, their games get nominated for Game of the Year. So it was all these accolades and stuff that we cared about to make Xbox look good. So now, when they buy studios, like for example, Microsoft could literally announce today that they purchased Square Enix and I wouldn't care. They can announce they buy Sega, I wouldn't care. They can announce that they're buying freaking Take-Two or EA, I wouldn't care. I'll be excited for like game, like this is cool as far as Game Pass and whatnot, but it should now moving forward, any acquisition or partnership Xbox makes should not bother anybody from any platform, not PlayStation, not Nintendo, and not any of the fanboys, because you're clearly not losing anything. Now, when PlayStation makes a move, Xbox fans got something to be worried about, especially if it's a reputable studio that makes reputable games, because chances are we're not getting it at all. Not available to buy, not available to Game Pass. We'd have to fork out either the money to buy a PlayStation or maybe it comes on PC. And that's really who really should be bothered. But in this scenario, like Xbox has a master plan. Its fanboys and fan base may not like it, but it's definitely to benefit Microsoft. And they made a move and a decision that really ultimately makes them win the war. And they lose in battles, but they will win the war.
See, if everything goes exactly the way they think it will, then that's cool. But the problem is when you're making like industry changing decisions, the shit could blow up in your face just as easy as it can work out for you. And we've seen that Microsoft has a habit of trying to jump the gun and forcing the industry to go a direction that it didn't. We've seen it with the Xbox One Always Online, and we low-key seen it with the Game Pass way. They try to push the whole industry subscription, and were they 100% wrong? No, there is a room for subscriptions in the industry. But I will say that it wasn't as much as Microsoft probably thought it was going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do, I think the biggest mistake with Xbox in this whole entire thing is that I think they should have waited a year for some of this stuff. I think they should have let this, like, see what their chamber can do, what this newfound Xbox can do. I feel like they should have gotten through 2024 and then start talking this mess in 2025. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Because I feel like they just got off this big acquisition and now there's no more anticipation because people are like, all right, well, they're not really doing anything. Like, it's status quo. Some of these games will launch first on Xbox. Cool. People will wait. We got improved. We've waited for some of these games that were on PlayStation. It's just that Xbox games that are waiting for PlayStation game, they wait. We have to wait longer. But if you're on PC, it's not.
That just irritates me the most, man, is we don't know how, it's like, you know, people say, oh, Xbox can do this, Xbox can do that, things can work out for them. What the hell is PlayStation going to do? Because to me, if they take this in a way that's like, look, we don't have to spend excessive amount of money anymore. No. We could just put it on an autopilot because Xbox has essentially put their arms down.
Yeah.
That we're going to get them eventually. We just don't know when. Or are they going to say, whoever takes Phil Spencer's job, is he going to be just as passive like this as Phil is right now? Or is he going to convince them to go back on the exclusivity shit and everything's exclusive again?
Yeah.
So is PlayStation going to look at this on, let's get them up out of here now while they can't, while we can?
That might be the energy.
Like I said, all it takes is snatching a couple big party, third party stuff. And then before you know it, Xbox is essentially just getting some third party and their stuff timed. And PlayStation's getting everything else. Now, I do think if PlayStation started playing dirty like that, Xbox would probably ceasefire. Like, they would say, okay, bitch. Like, I don't think Xbox would allow them to spin them out of the industry. I do think Xbox would reverse everything. And maybe that's something PlayStation's looking at. Depending on how we act, it might make them hit the nuclear code and completely go back. Because we've seen through history.
Yeah.
Xbox got no problem pissing off the whole industry. Reversing shit. Like,
no, absolutely. That, and it's just that the thing is, though, they really, you know, rub people the wrong way. And a lot of people, and again, though, and the industry and the gamers are immature. And it's the reason why things can't be the way they are. And it's like, I would like it. And the crazy thing, if you think about it, like, you know, you consider Epic, you consider Steam, Xbox and stuff like that. You look at Nintendo, you look at PlayStation, them in this archaic way of gaming, how we look at gaming, it's just going to take a while to become platform agnostic. You know what I mean? We're the only medium that can't break that mold. And I think it would be beneficial. It would actually be beneficial to all gamers for them to break that mold. And that's really the thing. It's like, if we were at a situation where it was just came down to preferences, like that's really what's going to change it. If every game is available everywhere,
it comes down to
what you want to play on.
Here's the thing too, is regardless what the people that watch this, because I know we got a lot of PlayStation fanboys, yep, and PlayStation fans, we do got people that watch us that generally enjoy our conversations. This is not an Xbox issue. This is the sustainability of of AAA products.
Yeah,
because the industry has realized that they have milked the consumers as much as they possibly can.
Yep.
Xbox tried to pivot with Game Pass and it worked a little bit, but now they're pivoting again and PlayStation's pivoting towards PC. Now, once they drain all the shit they can from PC, where do they think's going after that?
Yeah.
Now, at that point, they might have spit Xbox out of the industry. We don't know. Like, so they essentially might at least put stuff on whatever the Switch 3 is.
Yeah, I just think it would be very smart. The thing is, because I don't think you're not selling any more copies of stuff like Spider-Man or even the first Death Stranding. Like, just allow the thing to go on Xbox. Give it another boost. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's incredibly, like, stupid of them. You know what I mean? Who wants to stop at, okay, we sold 10 million of this, we sold 10 million of that, and you still have an opportunity to sell more if you want to. Just put it out there. Attic, we can get ready to wrap this up. We're coming in on time. Definitely appreciate this conversation. Shouts out to the Patreon, Weapon Wheel Patreon. Make sure you guys subscribe there, join the Patreon. We do this show every week for you guys, along with the Weapon Wheel podcast. Attic, you got anything going on before we get out of here?
Yeah, so we're having Genchi on IOP tomorrow. He's like a Japanese influencer.
Yeah.
What's funny is we're going to be talking about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. The next week, Thursday, I'm going to be streaming that suck at midnight. I already informed my girlfriend. I'm like, babe, it's a wrap when that game comes out. You know, I'll probably have that game beat before IOP. I've been waiting for that game for 4 years. And then before the remake came out, I've been waiting for Final Fantasy for 20. So it's just like, this is one of my most anticipated games I've ever had. The amount of like shakiness I have just thinking about playing that game is it's pretty unreal. But I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
Awesome, for sure. I got a cool skit. I got a couple skits out now. Check them out on the channel. They're doing very good. A couple shorts. I got another one. I'm probably going to be dropping Sunday or Monday.
Don't drop it. Actually, what you could do is you could drop it Sunday and premiere it off of Weapon Wheel after Weapon Wheel.
Yeah, it's true. All right, but thank you guys for watching, man. We'll see you guys next week. As always, Xbox is the best box. I am the best bot. good night or good morning if you're on the other side of the globe. We're out of here. Peace.
That was last minute, Dave, man.